Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and with me today is our leading lady, Nikki Klug, who is the CEO and principal designer of Nikki Klug Design. So I'm really excited to have Nikki on the show. And Nikki, are you there? Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Really excited because I, you know, we were talking before the show and I went, oh my gosh, you are a 3-time best-selling author. And I went, wow, I don't think I've ever met a 3-time best-selling author. So I feel like we are in the space of greatness. Let me just say that as starting out.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I want to know, what are the books on? Can you share with our listeners? I mean, how did you write the books? How did you collaborate on them? 3-time best-selling authors, but I was just like, wow, tell us about that.
Yes, I collaborated with 3 other authors, and it was an anthology project, each one of them. And one of them was Bold and Beautiful Business, talking about breakthroughs that we have as women as we're embarking on this journey of entrepreneurship and owning a business, and how being bold is one of the ways that we, reach some of our breakthroughs. And that can be found in many ways, right? We're all different and have different approaches. But something in us has to be bold, whether it's in our communication style or making some really scary leaps and moves, or, you know, just even believing in our vision and our idea. It requires boldness to be successful in business.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Did you write these books on your own, or how did the books come about?
No, they were group projects, and I was a contributing author on all 3 of them. The second one that I really love was the mission of Motherhood, Dreams, and Success. It was just talking about the missions of mothers and how we oftentimes put our own personal desires and dreams on hold because we have children and we want to put them first and help them succeed. But me, along with 30 other authors, talked about our journey and discovering how to do that at the same time. So that was really fun.
Well, that's 2. We got 1 more to go. Whew, I'm tired already. Too many books.
The third one.
I'm too tired.
Joking. Stephanie Bavaro focuses on gratefulness, and she talks about women being grateful from the boardroom to the bedroom is her tagline. And I talk about how your space can help you just take care of yourself, how you can create a sanctuary so that you can restore and relax and be all that you are for yourself and for others. So that was
wonderful. I love that. I love that. I mean, that's good. That's from the boardroom to the bedroom. That's pretty good on all fronts. So I hope maybe throughout our interview we'll hear some more about the books. But I had to start that off because I was just like, what? That's so cool. So forgive me. I'm in awe. I'm like, you know, bowing to you right now. It's cool.
But thanks.
As you know, today one of the things we wanted to do as far as our topic today was talk about how to create your sacred business space with design. And I love that because so many people, Nikki, we'll talk about at least for, you know, productivity and also even inspiration or just staying focused that, you know, how their office, let's just say home offices or work environment, you know, can either, you know, help people be more productive or it can inhibit it. I mean, I always think of flow and systems and, you know, a place for every space, and I'm not even saying it right, but, you know, I mean, every place has its thing, you know, it's organized. It's like when I was in corporate America. So tell us a little bit, you know, for you, how do you help people create their sacred business space with design?
Yeah, you're so right. Design has such a great impact on us as people, whether it's a positive impact or even a negative impact. And so we help women and business owners look at their space and dissect it in such a way that it helps them be more productive. And so productivity absolutely is one of the biggest focus because it just helps us be better people and make more money in our business and serve more people if we're, you know, at our most productive. And there's so many factors, but let me just give you a couple. So one that's, you know, readily seen and easily sometimes understood is color. And the color of a space or the color that's infused in a space absolutely has scientifically been proven to have psychological and physiological effects on us as humans. And so that's really neat. Colors, wall color and texture is really an art and a science. So we help people understand what's going to work for them individually when they have that opportunity.
And so here's a question. So let's say, I mean, and again, I want to keep it because our listeners are executive women, professional women, a lot of women owners throughout the U.S. And I'm kind of curious when you start working with a client, you know, because I hear a lot about, oh, you know, this office, it's, you know, feng shui, that kind of stuff where, you know, good chi and all that. I'm not diminishing it. I know there's a lot of people that really, you know, feel that. Kind of curious when you start working with a client and they say, okay, make me, I don't know, an oasis, you know, for my office. It's like, how do you even start with somebody? What is the kind of process that you go through to create, you know, and get somebody their really, you know, sacred business space that works with them? What's the steps?
So the steps are first going looking at the flow and the energy in the room, and just to make it, you know, bare bones, kind of a desk, you know, if that was the one.
And Nikki, I think I'm losing you there, so can you talk to, I'm sorry, I missed what you said. Yeah, one more time, Nikki. Sorry, you're not coming in that well. Forgive us, listeners. It's like, I don't know. Nikki, maybe can you
is that
try
better?
Again? Yeah, that's better. So don't
that's
move.
Better. Okay. Okay. So we were talking about the placement of the desk.
Right.
Okay. Just making sure you can hear me still. And how
yep.
that really,
yep.
if you can only focus on one thing as far as the feng shui principles go, that would be the one thing that I would focus on is the placement of your desk. And so as women and men as well, you want to position yourself in the power space in the room. And so what that is as you're sitting at your desk, you have a direct line of sight to the doorway. So, Michelle, go back to your corporate days and you think about the executive offices and how their office would be set up. And 9 times out of 10, I can't think of any space I've ever walked in where the executives are facing with their backs to the door.
Isn't that interesting? And, you know, I always just, from the standpoint of the sheer fear, you know, I thought it was just because you never wanted your back where somebody could sneak up on you, you know what I mean?
Right, but it totally puts you in a different mindset. It helps you have control over the space, control over your day, set your goals. It just clears your mind in such a way that I really can't explain it. I just know that it works, but it is a feng shui principle.
I love it. I love it. And you said there were three, so I don't think I heard the others. So that one's one key one, where your desk is. I like the power position. That's good.
Right, right. And one little side note, if you think about speakers as well, anytime you're speaking in a room, if you have the opportunity to set up the room, you want to be in that same power position. I know many of your listeners, in conjunction with their businesses, are speakers. And so whenever you have the opportunity, make sure you position yourself in the power position, even in a speaking presentation. So the second thing would be clutter. And one of the hardest things and biggest things, you know, that some of us deal with is just the amount of work and paperwork and files that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So my you know, tips for that has nothing to do with the actual papers, but all to do with how you manage your time. And I would say at the end of every day, if you know, calendar your activities, I would definitely hold 15 minutes at the end of the day to just get the office back in order so that you start off with a fresh desk every day.
you know, that's key, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, there's nothing like coming in and you've got crap all over your desk. Forgive me. You know, at least I didn't swear. But when you just have stuff askew, I mean, bins, folders, filing, that's, I just know that just makes such a difference. But some people, you know, say, don't touch anything on my desk. I know I can find it. I know where everything is. I don't know if I buy it, but...
Right. Well, it's been shown that executives and business owners waste up to 6 years, not days or months, but actually wasting 6 years throughout their career on looking for lost items, whether it's paper files or even electronic files. So I would definitely focus, you know, nowadays we have a lot of electronic files and putting those in a way that makes sense to you.
Do you get into, when you work with a client, like, you know, I mean, I know design and pretty and functional are all good things, and, you know, we're talking about productivity and designing your business space, but do you also get into, like, how office location flows in terms of workflow or, you know, or the process of maybe a business and their operation? Do you get into that and assess on how, so tell me a little bit about that, because I think that's, you can always make it look pretty, but how can you, what are some tips maybe you could give our listeners on, you know, to me, flow is so important, you know, step one, step two, step three, so that things, like even in a mail room, you know, I mean, where the mail bins are or things like that, but what would be some tips for you to give us on flow and operations and better systems within an office from a design space standpoint?
Yeah, I would love to. So we worked with a client out in Claremont area, and they were in a, you know, regular office park, and they had acquired, you know, spaces in between. So they had, you know, Suite 101, Suite 102, and then years later they were able to buy Suite 105, and then years later bought the ones in between. So the challenge was they were so segmented. You know, they had grown, which is an amazing and a wonderful thing, but they were so disjointed in their operational flow. And so what we did is we came in, and it was ideal timing because it was during a point where they were also restructuring the company. And we sat with just about every employee. I think we maybe missed two. They were out that day, but we still got their feedback. So we spoke to 54 different employees and talked about their job, what they felt like their most important tasks were, who they needed to speak with on a daily basis, who they needed to speak with face-to-face, who they mostly communicated via email, how many trips did they make to the printer. Like, we took all of this information and crunched it down and gave them a better work. So that was really fun. It took a couple of months, but now they are so much more efficient and so much happier even as employees, which is, you know, has such a long-range effect on retention and, you know, just workspace environment, even between the relationships. So that was a really great project. I was so proud to be a part of that.
And that's a cool story. And I'm kind of curious for you, it's like, what is kind of your, you know, I think of for all of us as business owners, we get involved in a project and there has to be kind of that creative energy that we get of what we're proposing to a client. So I'm kind of curious with you, it's like, where do you get your inspiration? I mean, how do you go and find something unique for a client or really make sure it's a custom fit solution for what's going to give them just something awesome for their business space? How do you, you know, what inspires you? Where do you get your ideas?
Gosh, we get our ideas from everywhere, like literally everywhere. Everything we see, everything we smell or touch or, and really it's so much more about the client. And so it's helping them have that sensitivity to what really makes them happy and what makes them skip a beat. So just trying to pass on our own, you know, intense sensitivity and sensory input, helping our clients explore that a little more and finding out what's going to really be inspiring to them. But me personally, I love nature, and so I've been known to take a scene from a drive, for example. My bedroom is my sanctuary. It's infused with dark grays and golds and silver. Now, I know that's a really popular color scheme right now, but I chose that 8 years ago. And it happened when I was driving from here up to Northern California, and I passed through a field, and I don't know that it was necessarily wheat, but it was wheat-colored, so it was some kind of crop. or produce that was, you know, all wheat colored, and the sky was gray, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And then like this ray of sunlight was coming through, and I was like, I'm going to do my bedroom like this. So
oh,
it's funny,
cool.
But yeah,
yeah.
I just get inspired by beauty, and that's found so many places in nature and architecture and just all around us.
Well, and you know, how do you work with a client? And I know just for our listeners, like I always want to know, it's like how a business goes through their creative process. So for you, it's like when you're working with a client, it's like how do you find what, you know, what a client wants? I mean, is it through like a series of questions that you take them through of what they like or don't like or what they're looking for? I mean, what's that kind of like?
Right.
If you can share that experience and how you assess that to make sure you nail it for a client.
Right. So right now we're going through a process, and I can use this client as an example. It's a real estate professional, and he wants his office to reflect him as well as his team. And so just in the discovery process, we start talking about the things that he enjoys doing. And of course, well, not of course, but oftentimes, you know, most times, guys like sports. And so we talked about that a little bit. But it wasn't until he started talking about traveling with his wife that he got really excited. So just being, you know, just tuning in and cueing in to those cues that clients give on, you know, when the excitement is in their voice and when they're passionate about something. So I'm quite certain that we will incorporate travel and, you know, talk about how and tie in to San Diego. We're the, you know, most travel, you know, high on the travel destination list for much of the country. But also that he loves to travel and explore and see new things. So that will be reflected somehow in a way that when he comes to the office, it makes him feel good and his team, you know, aspire to newer heights.
I love that. I love it. You know, because, you know, it really can kind of motivate you. And so, you know, I want to walk into my office and I want to feel like I'm, you know, the power position or whatever. But depending on what a client says, let's say if they wanted to, you know, be feel like they're a CEO-like and an owner and the power part, what, I know different colors mean different things. Can you share what maybe some of the colors mean to different scenarios and kind of say avoid these or stick with these? Like, you know, if you want to be relaxed and feel, you know, zen-like, what colors would that be kind of thing? I'm kind of curious.
Totally, and you'll see this, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I knew that. But if you think about spas, you know, most times it's blues or soothing greens, and if their spa wants to be more grounding, then you'll find some earth tones, so rust and espresso and Java. So, so yeah, you can go a couple of different ways on whether you want to be zen or in grounding or you want to be ethereal and airy. And similar in marketing, right? Navy blues, if you think about banks, they often use navy blues or a blue-red or sometimes like a emerald green, and that evokes trust and power and stability. When you talk about restaurants, then they're going to have lots of reds because that is one of the physiological effects that's been proven that red makes your blood flow more at a higher rate.
Really?
So you'll,
wow.
Yes. So you'll never, ever see a hospital or a prison that has red anywhere in that facility. So, but restaurants always, they want you to eat more, be more engaging with your guests, and even fast food restaurants, you'll see orange and red and yellows because those are, again, think about In-N-Out restaurants, In-N-Out Burger. They want you to literally get in and then get out. So,
you know, it's so funny because I think of McDonald's and I'm just like, man, those colors just drive me crazy. You know, and it's like the whole design is get your food and get out of here because we don't want you to park your behind too long.
To.
I guess that's the idea, right? We want to create that friction. That's pretty good. Well, if any of our listeners are looking for, you know, just a couple of tips, if they're like a do-it-yourselfer and they would like to be able to kind of look at their work environment, what would be a few tips that you would give people just as maybe, you know, kind of a do-it-yourself, here's like three things to keep in mind if you want to really have better space with your work environment or something. I love the desk analogy. What would be some other tips you'd give them, Nikki?
Absolutely. So, desk color clutter. With clutter, I think one of the do-it-yourself tips that I like to share is sort, purge, and then label. So many times we have multiples of things because we rebought something that we forgot we had or couldn't find it. And I would always, you know, suggest to people, be kind to yourself. It oftentimes gets worse before it gets better. So
yeah,
pull it out, you know, sort through it, put like things together, and then label, especially if you have help in your office or maybe your teenager is helping you in your home office. Mine are. So if you label things, people that are assisting you will know where things go back to their home. Like you were saying, everything has a home and everything's in its home. And so sort, purge, and label is the one thing. And again, you know, just schedule that time on a daily basis and even on a weekly basis to really focus on keeping things managed and under control. One tip that I like to give with that time management and clutter, because that's really why it's that way, right? It's not that we like to live in clutter. We don't make the time to manage it and to handle it. And so I like to chunk, you know, my activities. I'm sure you do too. You get so much done in a day, Michelle. I imagine that you do this. So for us as a family, we chunk our mail. So we have a big basket that we collect right at the entrance. All the mail goes in there. And then on Fridays, we all sit and open and sort and go through while we're watching Shark Tank. So that's just become a fun family activity. We all know we're going to do it. Somebody, you know, with the teenagers, they're getting college applications. My husband gets his, you know, doctor magazines, and I get my interior design magazines. And so,
that's cute. That's a great tip.
Yeah.
I like that. Like those. And, you know, I got to ask you just because, I mean, your energy and your voice just lights up when you start talking about what you do, which is really cool because that's what we need as owners of our own destiny, right? But how did you even start your business? I mean, what was kind of your inspiration to get into design and interior design for commercial and for residences? Kind of curious, what was your inspiration to start?
Yeah, so my mother was really my muse. She and I used to decorate when I was a young girl. She was a total arts and crafts and do-it-yourself and fashion and all of that. Actually, she majored in fashion design in college, but when she graduated and went to the workforce, the best position that she could get wasn't in fashion. It was as a manager at an oil and gas company. Being from Houston, Texas, you would imagine
wow.
that. You know, you can picture that. So the weekends were really our creative time. You know, that we were the first weekend warriors before the word was even created. And as long as I can remember, I was just, you know, rearranging my tiny little bedroom, trying to maximize the space. I was so excited when the Container Store opened nearby our home. It was one of my favorite hangouts. And so
one of my favorite stores as well.
Organized my closet to get all of my clothes and shoes. And just, I've always done it. And it wasn't until my youngest son was born that I recognized I want to do this as a career. And it doesn't matter if I make money at it or, you know, if I just do this for friends and family, I really want to do this. So I went back to school, and I got my degree in interior design. I worked for a few years for another designer. I was so spoiled and didn't realize it. My first project was a $14 million project in Palo Alto, California.
Really? Wow.
And it was a two-year project, design, build, and I was my, you know, mentor's assistant. Crazy, ridiculous budgets and so many details. It was great, great learning experience. And then I branched out on my own with my own first big client a few years later. And so that kind of happened by chance. It wasn't that I wanted to be a business owner or that I just had to have my own thing. I just needed the flexibility because I have four children. But when we moved here in 2000, the market
Ooh,
was,
that
you
the
know,
year you moved
horrible.
Here? Oh, man. Whoa.
You know where I'm
we
going
all
with that.
I think we all remember 2008, unfortunately. Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. There are
the
just few dates that, you know, that are nothing more needs to be said.
I think so. And that would have been tough. I mean, was that must have been really hard to move here in 2008.
It was, and it was very depressing for me. Like, my heart just broke thinking of the fact that, okay, I might need to give this up. And, you know, I don't know anyone. The people I know, this isn't a priority for them. I'm my own best client, you know.
So, right.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to give this one last try. And that's when I went to an incubator. I'm sure you know Felina Hansen. She's such a doll and has helped so many women's dreams come true.
We all know Felina is what we need to say, Nikki. We all know Felina.
But yes, amazing. And I went to her incubator and started just learning about business because back in Palo Alto, it was only referrals and it kept me so busy that, you know, I had to turn clients down, which was, you know, I was just in a really good position. And like I said, I was spoiled and did not even know it. Because there was no marketing, no sales. The sale was already made for me. You know, I had to learn how to do all those things cold. And so I am grateful for that time. It really helped me, you know, stick my foot in the sand and go all in.
And,
you know, make it
well,
all
I'm kind of, and I'm kind of curious because boy, you've been through the mill. I mean, you want to look from going to having too much business to hardly any business, you know, post 2008. I don't think any of us mm-hmm. have not been impacted from that. But, you know, we only have a couple minutes left. But I'm really curious because to me as an owner, you know, I could make a list of things that it's like I've done the hard way or that I do differently. But what do you mm-hmm. feel is the biggest thing that has been instrumental to your success as a small business owner, especially coming out of 2008? What's been central? Because you're doing it now. You've got a team around you. You have a great reputation. You're a nominee for our Women of Influence Awards, which is one of the reasons I was so excited to interview you. But what's one thing that you feel has been really central to your success?
It really is about people. And I also had to check my pride. You know, I had to get a big old piece of humble pie and say, okay, I don't know everything. Clearly I was doing well before, but I'm not now, and there's something missing. And so mm-hmm. being willing to learn new information, being willing to help people with no expectation of, you know, receiving anything, and just getting to know what is it that people are wanting, what is it that they're needing, how can I contribute, how can I be of value, and learning how to articulate that, you know, stepping out of my own way. There's so mm-hmm. like you said, there's so many things. The list goes on and on and on. But I think the number one thing would have to be people. Just getting out there and making meaningful relationships and not, you know, just tossing out business cards. You and I met years ago.
We were tossing out business cards. We were tossing out business cards is what we were doing.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was still such a moment where we connected in a way that we remembered each other, you know?
Yeah,
so,
correct.
I think that, you know, we would have been good friends 2 years ago if we had followed up, you know, or at least me. I'm sure you did.
And there's another subject, right? There's another subject on the follow-up. And I know, if anybody wants to reach you, and first of all, you are amazing. So if anybody wants to reach you, Nikki, it's like, well, how would you like people to contact you? I want to make sure you give a chance to tell your website or phone or email. How do you want people to reach you?
Yeah, so Facebook, you know, if you're a social media person, I'm out there on Facebook and on Instagram. And my name is spelled NIKKIKLUGH. And so on all the different platforms, that's how you can search me out and or shoot me an email. So that one is Nikki, NIKKI, at NikkiKlugDesign.com.
So cool. Nikki, thank you so much for being our leading lady today, you know, to our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, thank you. That's our show for today. And I want to obviously give a special thanks to all of our listeners, as we will be back again next Friday. And our leading lady next week will be Jace Corlett, who is the founder of Revolutionize You. And the topic we're going to focus on, and this is what I just love about people that do unique things, is how what you eat in your diet really can sabotage your productivity or enhance your productivity. So we will see you guys next Friday. I'm Michelle, your host of Women Lead Radio. Thanks for listening. And everyone, if you're listening out there, be a professional woman and go support one another. Have a great week. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships.
For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.